Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan Sim. I'm your host for the Daily Challenges, where normally each week we explore a different theme, and Monday through Friday we have a rhythm to help us explore it in lots of depth. This week is different. This is our Best of 2014 week, where we celebrate some of our favorite videos from the last year. This was a great year. We explored all kinds of interesting things. We looked at the church in our series on the Pioneer Story. We celebrated Easter, of course. We spent lots of time looking at the person of Jesus and much more. Before we do start our next series, this year we're going to be exploring the Old Testament. We wanted to share some of our favorites from the last year. We picked them either for their creative setting or because they had content that we really thought was worth hearing again. Without further ado, here's one of our favorites. Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenge, and today is Wednesday, the day we try to make sense of what we've read in the Bible on Tuesday, but the topic we introduced on Monday. This week we're talking about the pioneer spirit that led to the formation of the church, the phenomenon we know on earth as the church, basically the community of people trying to follow Jesus together. Yesterday we read the story in the book of Acts about the arrival of the Holy Spirit in the lives of followers of Jesus, and there were three signs that this was indeed God's Holy Spirit, not just some other experience or drunkenness, as some people thought. The first was that there was the sound of rushing wind filling the room. The second was that there were tongues of fire above their heads. The third one was that they spoke in different languages that they never knew themselves, but that others recognized as their own language. It's an incredible experience. Yesterday I asked you to consider what they might mean, and certainly we can point, certainly the wind and fire, back to John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, who announced his arrival on earth, who came before him and made the way ready for Jesus. He prepared people's hearts by urging them to repent of their sin. And he said that the Spirit would arrive with wind and fire. Well, certainly those things appeared on the day of Pentecost. The languages weren't mentioned there, and the fire part, you can also go back to the book of Exodus, when God led his people through a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire by night. So there's some precedent there, but these languages I think we need to look at especially. What was the point of these people speaking different languages, and how was that a sign of God's Spirit, and why would God choose to communicate that way? It was a sign that the impossible mission God had given them to do, to spread the good news of Jesus around the world, was actually going to be possible. You know, this mission would have seemed impossible. They didn't speak all the languages of the world. They couldn't travel around the world. They were just a small group. It would have seemed impossible, but in that moment, the Spirit was showing them it would be possible. Think of one of those barriers, language. It's a big one. How are you going to communicate the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to people around the world who speak millions of different languages? Well, maybe not millions, but you get the point. Well, the Spirit changed all that. I rock climb quite regularly, and a few years ago, I used to really pride myself on never needing to use chalk when I was climbing. I always felt it was a crutch, that I wouldn't need that kind of extra help, that if I learned to climb, working through any sweat that might make me slip or just working without chalk, then I'd be a better climber for it because I wouldn't be depending on a little bag of chalk hanging off my harness. Well, one day I found myself struggling away on a climb. I just kept slipping off. I was flailing away and it just wasn't working out. And one of my partners made me try chalk. So I reached my hand into that bag, got the chalk in my fingers. It didn't feel great, but you know what? It made all the difference. I was able to hold on to things I couldn't hold before. I was able to get to the top of the climb and do what had seemed impossible without that extra help. If Jesus' followers were going to try to spread the gospel around the world on their own, they would flail around like me trying to do an impossible climb. But with the direct intervention of God in their lives through God's Holy Spirit, it would be a different story. Jesus' followers would be able to confidently arrive at that seemingly impossible destination through God's power, not their own. So often though, like me with my climbing, our ego or pride can stand in our way. I can do this. I have the skills. I can learn those languages. I can travel around the world. I can do this and this, when God has a very different plan. God's Holy Spirit makes the impossible possible. This is certainly what happened. There are, you know, over 2 billion people in the world today claiming to be followers of Jesus, and that number is growing all the time. There have never been more Christians in the world than today. At the same time, there's one website that offers a film about Jesus in 1,200 languages now. Certainly, the impossible task given to those first followers of Jesus is something the Spirit has made possible in ways they probably never imagined. But back in that day, this was made evident to them in the fact they were able to speak in languages they had never learned themselves. And this shocked people. The people around them said, "What, are these Galileans?" Because people from Galilee were not considered to be highly educated, important people. They were from sort of the back country. And they had an accent that actually made it difficult for them to speak other languages properly and be understood. And yet all these people said, "They're speaking our languages and we understand them." They were amazed at this. How could that happen? How could these people from the back country with funny accents be speaking our languages from around the world? You see that list, it's just a short list of places. There are probably more than that, but it represents the world, certainly as people living in the Mediterranean at that time understood it. Although I can't imagine they knew that there were people across the ocean in North America and things like that. The nations listed here, though, represent the breadth of nations as they would have understood it. The world in a nutshell. One of the big barriers to the world learning about Jesus was going to be language, and the Holy Spirit just broke that one down. How encouraging is it to see the Holy Spirit breaking down barriers for us, taking down the things that are going to stop us from being able to do and accomplish God's mission? It would seem like it's an impossible mission. The Spirit made it possible. Just with that one little barrier coming down, imagine what He could do with all the others in their lives and in our lives. Sharing the gospel is something we've been called to do as well. It's not just something that happened in the Bible, but every follower of Jesus has a mission. And it might seem impossible to you, but imagine what you can do with the Holy Spirit. Well, one question for you to think about today before we conclude tomorrow. What do you think the Holy Spirit was saying through the followers of Jesus speaking all those different languages? Luke never actually says. So what do you think God would want to say to the world in all those languages in that moment? Have some fun thinking about it. We don't really know, but it's a good exercise in trying to consider what God's motives would have been in that moment. Have a great discussion. Don't forget, we read the Bible in sync as one community. You'll find today's reading in our app and website. Bye for now.